Okay, praise the Lord, everyone. We're here today for the memorial of blowing the trumpets. I'm happy that you're nice and dressed up. I know a lot of people get dressed up out of their, they go wild for all the pagan holidays. How much more for the feast of the Lord? So I thank you for that, respecting God. And also, we're going to start now. Would you mind rising? And we'll ask the Lord to bless and anoint this feast of God, this holy day of God. Heavenly Father, our Lord and God, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for your mercy that you've revealed just some of these scriptures to us. Lord, we pray you'll open them up more and more. Open up the depths of God. We know there's so many levels. Lord and God, bless this day, this Shabbaton. It's a Shabbaton. It's a special Sabbath. Lord, we pray today, Lord and God, you'll anoint the reading, open our eyes more and more. It's all up to you, God. We praise and thank you for your blood, for your mercy, Lord and God, and we do listen for the sound of the trumpet, and Lord, and we want to be atoned before you come back, so we could tabernacle with you throughout eternity. And we rehearse these feasts of the Lord every year until the day when time shall be no more or our lifespan expires. Lord, we pray that we can pass this on to the younger people, that they can get it, Lord, knowing that they probably be around longer than us, if you tarry, and they can convey it to someone else. I pray you'll bless this reading today. Pray down healing upon those in the body of Messiah that need a touch from God. We pray, Lord and God, you'll send down your special peace upon us and around and about Israel and around about, Lord and God, thy people throughout the world. Bless and anoint the reading. Bless everyone here. Bless all those that are not with us. We all try our best, Lord, knowing the calendars are so mixed up, and you're very aware of all these things. I don't have to tell you. But we try to do as much as we can in this life, Lord and God. We keep your commandments. We observe your feasts as best as we know how, Lord and God. Teach us more and more. Strengthen us. Give us the faith we need, Lord and God, until the day that we are taken up or we go to meet you. Bless and anoint everything today in the mighty name of the Messiah. We thank you for Simcha, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We give you the praise and honor in the mighty name, Father God, of in your Son's name, Messiah Yeshua. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is a memorial of blowing the trumpets, and we'll go over what that means today. I don't even know what today's date is. What is today's date in the physical, in the Gregorian calendar?
25th.
The 25th. Okay, I want to have that recorded. So it's the 25th in the Gregorian calendar. Unfortunately, our brothers and sisters in this made-up Judaism, they're calling today, which is the memorial of blowing the trumpets, they're calling it Rosh Hashanah, which is totally wrong, according to the Bible. And, you know, it's not New Year's, and it's not... it's just not a thing called Tishri. Tishri is not in the Hebrew Bible. So, what everyone should do is look at the scriptures today. We're going to go over some scriptures, and you're going to find them very interesting. You know, our congregation, as you guys probably know by now, we do like singing, and we like dancing, and we want to incorporate some of that, but we're basically a boot camp, a yeshiva, to learn the Word of God so you can convey it to somebody else, so you can pass it on to somebody else, and you look it up too, make sure it's accurate. But it's basically that's why it's called a yeshiva. It's a community of people who desire truth, and this is a synagogue. It's for Jews and Gentiles who found the Messiah or who are looking for him. Okay. So we are Kahal Echad BeMashiach, and of course the main thing I've been trying to blast out to everybody is: do you know that the four holy days? Do you know that the four holy days of the Lord, which are the memorial of blowing the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, are a shadow of the second coming of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus. Most people don't know that. Most Protestants don't know that. Most, obviously, Catholics don't know that. And I'm not even sure if some of Messianics know that. I don't know what they just want to sing a bunch of songs and do Rosh Hashanah right now, which is ridiculous. But you know how I've been trying to tell you a little bit at a time, the Sabbath that we keep every week, you know, the Sabbath that we keep is very important. And we do it for, it's more than just showing up on the Sabbath. It says right here, and this makes it a little more obvious to me what the seventh day is all about. It says, "Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign, ot in Hebrew, between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is a holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations, for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. This thing, God has to threaten us with death if you break the Sabbath, because the number seven is so important, because somewhere in the future, this seventh month that he's trying to drill in our brains, maybe the Lord will return, and you better be atoned. So he's threatening. It's almost like a threat. You know, this sign is very important that we do every week, and it's something that not to take lightly, but it's something to make you on a weekly basis remember that somewhere in the month, in God's month, the seventh month, in someone's future, this trumpet will sound. So God has us remembering it on a weekly basis. And the Sabbath, of course, is many other things. This is one aspect of it. You know, Brother Paul, who's a wonderful brother, I guess we'll meet him one day. That'd be nice. He says in the book of Colossians, which is taken totally wrong, I put down a few verses here. The book of Colossians was written to, of course, the Colossians in Colossae, which is in Asia Minor. And, of course, this is in the first century, you know, whatever it was, 45 A.D. to 50-something A.D., something between 40 and 50 A.D. But he's telling the Colossians, look, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Watch out. People are going to try to come into this congregation when I'm not around. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Messiah, Christ. And then he says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And that word judge right there, go back up a little please. The word judge, it actually means don't let no one condemn you about doing these things. Don't let anyone make you question it, or it's called in question, like, why are you doing this? What are you doing that for? Okay? Because Apostle Paul continues on, he says that these things, these holy days, this new moon, and these Sabbaths, he says this is in the future tense. He says, this is after the Messiah died and rose again. He said, which are a shadow of things to come. It says, but the body is of Christ. In case you didn't know that, this shadow, I want you to understand, it's the shadow that you're seeing is coming from this body, and this body is the Messiah. So these things all pertain to him. So don't let anyone condemn you about it or make you question it or judge you, because God already told you about these things. And every year you'll probably understand a little bit more and more. So that's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell the Colossians. But most churches read that wrong. People have studies on Colossians every week, and I'm sure they're taking it, don't judge me, brother. It's not saying that. It's Apostle Paul saying, don't let anyone condemn you about the feasts of the Lord, the holy days, or the new moon. Like most, unfortunately, it's a sad thing. It doesn't make me happy. Most Christians never heard of the new moon, the Rosh Chodesh. Most Christians never heard of the feasts of the Lord. Most Christians never heard of what to eat and what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. I mean, some people drink terrible things that are an abomination, unfortunately. So we always tell, and verse 18 is also important. This is all in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Let no man beguile you. In other words, all these verses so far that we're reading, these are obviously not your brothers, right? I mean, these are people that you want to beware of. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worship of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen. And, of course, he is puffed up by his fleshly mind. And he's not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, nourished, having nourishment ministered, knit together, increase it with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Messiah from the rudiments of the world, you Colossians, what are you doing the pagans? Why are you doing these pagan things that are going on in Colossae and Athens? And, you know, why are you doing the rudiments of the world? Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Why are you doing all these things and you're not doing the things of God, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Why are you doing all those things when you should be doing the things of God, and you're letting people judge you with the meat and drink and holy? What, you know, you sort of got a little bit mixed up there, Colossians, and also people today, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, in humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So you got to make sure that you discern the things that are given to you by the world, the commandments of men, which ones are good, which ones are bad, which ones are totally made up. And then you should also think about the elements that God has put in the Bible, the feasts of the Lord, the holy days, the new moons. In other words, don't just do these. Everyone's so like raring and tearing. And you ever see, we've all done it, all the pagan feasts. People get dressed up to the hilt to go keep the Christmas holiday, the feast, and the new year of Pope Gregory. Everyone's like, I remember people seeing people with their earrings and things. They come all like, da da da. And the feasts of the Lord are like, you know, that's because you can't feel the real excitement, because the world has got everything backwards. So sometimes we fall into that without even thinking about it, because you're like, wow, it's supposed to be a day of the Lord, the trumpet. But we're so brainwashed, like, you know, look how quiet it is outside. No one knows it's a day of the Lord. So, you know, it's a terrible thing. So they're doing the commandments and doctrines of men with their bells and trinkets and their ornaments and all their nonsense. They have a show of will, a show of God, but they deny Him when you try to match it to the Scriptures. In other words, when they tell you about their feasts, they make it sound godly, some of them, but when you go to try to match it to the Word, where does it say that in the Word? So I always tell people, watch out for false feasts. This poor guy, Aaron, in Exodus 32:5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and he made proclamations that tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. I mean, Aaron had them take off all their gold and their earrings, and he made a calf. I mean, that's beyond my imagination. I mean, you know, I can't even imagine Aaron doing that, actually. I mean, but I read it. I mean, this is a person that was right with Moses when God's given them the Ten Commandments and everything. I mean, this is like, Ten Commandments were given in Exodus chapter 20. This is chapter 32. I mean, what happened to Aaron? So you can't, in other words, you can't make people peer pressure make you not keep the Word of God. You can't make friends, relatives, family make you feel ashamed of doing the things of God. You know, Aaron here was like, they all pressured him, all these people, and before you know it, he's made up his own feast to the Lord. The next chapter, he dies anyway. But anyway, here's another guy, Jeroboam. He ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. That's pretty haughty, I would say. He actually picked a month and he gave it, and the day of a month. That's pretty amazing. Like unto the feast that's in Judah, they were doing the feast of the Lord. That's why they were going to Jerusalem, to Judah. And this guy didn't want them to go there. He's going to make his own feast to try to bring the people his way, like Satan always does. And so here we have it. He offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed them in Bethel, the priest of the high places which he had made. For some reason, the devil always has these calves. There's even another point, another part, it says, kiss the calves. You know, it's like, you don't want to do that. I don't know why Satan has this calf. I think even in Satanism, they have sort of a head of an animal or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this guy, Jeroboam, he offered upon the altar, it says, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. He devised it of his own heart. I mean, could you believe that? And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And they're so out of the spirit, and they're going along with him. And he offered upon the altar and burned incense. So you got to watch out for these that things that are going on, even in our lifetime, different pagan feasts, different things that are not of God. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to the fashion of, so it was 7 years in building it. This is a verse that just the 7 years, this number seven, this holiday makes me think about the number seven, and of course people were trying to build the house of God in our hearts and in this world, and you know a lot of people were trying to build the temple of the Lord, but it's very complicated because everyone else has got these, they're infected with all these doctrines and all these philosophies. And we're trying to proclaim it, and we're trying to, if we only can do that, you know, if we only could just set up the temple of the Lord, it would be great in people's hearts, so they can do the feast of the Lord and understand it. So the feast of the Lord, it says, in the book of Leviticus, it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, it's the Moedei Yehovah, or Yehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And this is a memorial. Today is the memorial of blowing of trumpets. And Leviticus 23:24 says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, which is today, it started last night, actually, the Rosh Chodesh, the Chodesh. The word Chodesh also means new moon by itself, Chodesh. Okay? And last night we got news also that they saw the moon in Israel, so we know it's definitely okay. And besides that, it is 4%. And it's visible where you could see it's the new moon. It is definitely the seventh month, and this is the first day of the month. We have now you see the word Sabbath, but they should have wrote the word Shabbaton, because that's what it says right there in Hebrew, Shabbaton, right there. See that little red Shabbaton? I know you don't read Hebrew, but that's what it says. It says a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. So we have Shabbaton, Zichron, Truah, Mikra Kodesh. And all that means a lot because Shabbaton means it's a special Sabbath. It's not just a Sabbath, it's a special one. And the Zichron, this memorial, is something that you do every year until the Lord comes. It's something to be remembered. And the Truah is a sounding blast, like a wake up, everybody. And a mikra in Hebrew means also like an assembly, like to get together. It means also a mikra is something that you want to, you know, you want to get together with people. It's an assembly. And of course, Kodesh is holy. It's holy assembly, okay? So these words, I know they have like, I'm just giving you a very basic meaning of what they say, okay? But we see here in the book of Numbers, and it's, again, they've constantly, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It's a day of blowing of trumpets. And it's called Yom Truah. It says unto you, there's the word Truah. It means a shout of joy or of battle, a sound of the trumpet. And Truah, right there, or I should say Ruah, means a loud noise. So we can tell by that information when the Lord comes, it's going to be like it was deafening in the book of Acts when God came down upon Mount Sinai. It said it blasted louder and louder and louder, and the people were frightened. I mean, you know, I never seen like thousands of people frightened. There was thousands of them. It wasn't just a handful. They were frightened, and God came down upon Mount Sinai. That's just unbelievable to me. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. When I say that, it just gets me excited. The seventh month, of course, we all in this congregation know by now it's called Ethanim. In the Hebrew it says Ha Ethanim, okay? It's definitely not Tishri, okay? We know that for a fact, because the word Tishri is not in the Hebrew Bible. So you got to watch out what Judaism is infecting the Messianics, and they're all doing the crazy these crazy things that are not in the Bible. And not too many Messianics have that intestinal fortitude where they'll get up and say, where does it say that in the Word? Where's Tishrei? No, I can't even get people to say that. First, and if you want to verify it, of course, you should know by now, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 2, we see all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon in the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So that verifies that. So very simply, you could see by the scriptures, it's Ethanim, it's not Tishrei. It's the seventh month, It's not the first month or New Year's. It's blowing of trumpets. It's not Rosh Hashanah. That's how simple it is. I mean, if you just get that little simple thing down, I mean, you could actually prove Ethanim, seventh month, memorial, blowing the trumpets. They can't prove first month, New Year's, Rosh Hashanah, and Tishri. Just think of that. All those things that they're proclaiming, they're not in the Hebrew Bible. I mean, talk about, like, anyone should... I don't see how, like... you know what shocks me? All Israel is doing this just about, but it's not that shocking. Think about in the Christian world. They got, what? There's probably hundreds of millions of Christians doing crazy feasts with no one checking it out. I mean, the Catholics, what? They're a billion, over a billion, and they can't even count to three because they got everybody, Jesus dying on Friday to Sunday. I mean, really, even if you took your shoes off and counted on your toes, you can't get to three from Friday to Sunday. That's ridiculous. So that's why it's very sad. That's why, see, all you people, you may not think too much of yourself, but you but you are the light of the world. And every one of you little light bulbs, and me too, we all have to go shine unto people because, amen. I mean, if they're so blind that they're going Tishrei and Merry Christmas, Jingle Bell, you know, they got every kind of crazy thing going on, and you're going, no, wake up, wait, wake up, hold on, snap out of it. You got to snap them out of this spiritual trance that they're in. They're mesmerized by generations, by relatives, by friends, by peer pressure, by anybody that's trying to get you to question the things of God. Okay? This new moon, the Chodesh. Now, I know a lot of people don't ever think about the new moon, and I want to make sure everybody knows we don't worship the moon, okay? But we do take knowledge of it because God gave us this information, which is so valuable. I mean, God said this. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? Signs. Is the Sabbath a sign?
Yes.
Yeah, good. And for seasons, and they're for days, and they're for years. Wow, the lights that are in the heavens. And he says in Psalm 81, blow the trumpet in the new moon. And we're going to blow the trumpet in the new moon. Just let me get my little trumpet here. Now, do you like to blow your trumpet there? Okay, we'll have Ann come up here, because it says right here, blow the trumpet in the new moon. And we did this last night. Here you go. Go right ahead. We're going to have Sister Ann blow the trumpet. Go right ahead. Just try your best. Very good. Praise the Lord. Okay, can they hear that? Can you guys hear that? Praise the Lord. Now, Carrie, would you like to blow the trumpet too? I know you have.
Oh, that was fine.
Okay.
I had your page open.
Praise the Lord. And, of course, I always make sure I have things on my website, because I want to make sure I always get it straight. So we blow the trumpet. Let's see. Let me get my website here. It says New Moon Info. And here's what it sounds like over here. I hope it's going to work. Did they hear the trumpet?
No, they didn't.
Okay, we're going to blow the trumpet one more time. Here it goes, one more time. Okay? That's definitely a wake up. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and this blow the trumpet in the new moon. We did it last night, of course, and it's of course we did it because that's what God said to do in the time appointed in our solemn feast day. Psalm 47:5 says, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Praise the Lord. And you know, if you didn't get Genesis, David says it in Psalms, that God appointed the moon for seasons, okay? The sun know it is going down. So the moon is something that you need to keep track of, because this new moon indicates the months of God, so you can keep the feast of the Lord. And it's very important. And it's all about the Lord coming. It's very important. Praise the Lord. You know, in Ezekiel 46, a lot of people never think of these verses. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east. Remember the east? That little east word is everywhere in the Bible. So it's the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut 6 working days. But guess what? On the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, it shall be open. So this is all indications for the future. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moon. And that's b'Shabbatot, that's a plural for Sabbaths. It says, U v'chodeshim, that's the plural new moons, lifnei Yehovah, before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, everyone should always keep in mind what we're doing, because we're talking about the past, the future. You know, I want everyone to be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's important. So we're waiting for the latter rain and the Holy Spirit and the movements of God and the feast of the Lord. It's exciting to me. I mean, I hope something happens in my lifespan, but I keep thinking, you know, we might come and go, and the next generation, it can't go too much longer, because we see everything heating up in the world. So what we do by this, we look back. We look back, what is this blowing of trumpets? And we look back in the Word of God. I only put down a few examples here. I did not put down, of course, this many shadows of the second coming of the Messiah everywhere, from Genesis to Revelations. There's many shadows, indirect forecasts. There's just many things to look at in the Word of God, okay? So we're looking back, and I want everyone to be ready, the voice of the trumpet, and I want everyone to believe the Word of God, okay? That's important, to believe the Word of God, and it's the voice of the trumpet, and it's God says to be ready. What I'd like to do, I only put a few verses here, I think. I'd like, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Okay? I mean Exodus, excuse me. 19 of the book of Exodus. I'm going to emphasize some verses. This is where we believe that this is what we're remembering. Okay? Now this is Exodus 19. It says, in the third month, which of course is Sivan, and you prove that by Esther chapter 8, verse 9. It says, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, and they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God. Just that verse right there, Moses went up unto God. I mean, that's... and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, this is the children of Israel, and tell the children of Israel, it says, for you have seen what I did. This is God actually talking to Moses. I mean, that's like, that makes me just like halt for a second and Selah, you know, meditate on that for a second. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, what I have did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Praise the Lord. We want God to bring us unto him, right? Now therefore, if you would obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Isn't that amazing? For all the earth is mine, God says. Praise the Lord. That's right. That little word people hate, the word if, just two little letters. It's only if you obey my voice. That's right. Isn't that terrible? That little word stops everything. It says, and ye shall be unto me what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation? These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So a lot of people might say, well, as the children of Israel, that's not me, right? Well, if you got the new covenant was given to the house of Israel. So that means you have to join the Israel of God to get the new covenant, which is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. And then to prove that, Apostle Paul is quoting it verbatim in Hebrews chapter 8. So you say to yourself, wow, I didn't even know that. I thought we were the New Testament church. No, the new covenant, the New Testament was given to the house of Israel. So these words are, if you join them, you're a part of Israel, and this is also to you. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and he laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee. Man. And believe thee forever. They're going to hear the voice of God. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. See, when you go meet the Lord, this is the way the Lord wants you to come. Let them wash their clothes, and I want you to be ready against the third day. That's another indirect forecast of the Messiah. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. We've got so many different, I call them indirect forecasts, just right and blaring at us. The people had to be ready for the third day. All the apostles, God told them numerous times that on the third day I'll be perfected. I will raise on the third day. This is so beautiful to me. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the border shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. That means, see when it says beast right there? That means you're supposed to control your animals, control whatever you have around and about you. It says beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet, now the word trumpet there is very unique because it's actually ha-yovel. Yovel is the jubilee. So yovel is jubilee. That's a different word there for trumpet, very unique. This is all indirect forecast of the Yovel, which comes, of course, on the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days from now, and when everything's set free. And yes, you better be free from sin. And this trumpet sounded long. Then shall they, it says, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down. I bet you how fast do you think he went down? And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they, wash your clothes, get the Lord's coming. I mean, I bet he didn't go, the Lord's coming, wash your clothes. I bet he was like, you know, whoa, the Lord just told me to, he's sanctified, get everyone, please cleanse yourself as much as you can. Wash your clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass what? On the third day, in the morning, Moses lifted his hand up and mount right there in the Red Sea in the morning as the morning appeared. Deliverance. Over here, be ready against the third day. The Lord's going to come down upon Mount Sinai. Wake up, everybody. This is all telling you that on the third day, I will raise from the dead. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning too. That there was, right, thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet. It's called shofar. And it was exceeding loud so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. I mean, it must have been a must have been unbelievable on the third day when the Messiah rose from the dead. That must have shocked everybody. I mean, did anyone in ever see anybody raised from the dead after they've been dead for 3 days? I mean, think about the reality of that. I never seen anybody, but this... And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine somebody coming to you and say, come with me, we're going to go meet God right now. Oh, man. And they stood at the nether part. They stood at the nether part of the mount. Oh, boy. And the it says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. I bet you the mountain was scared. It says, and the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole, yeah, not only the people quaked, but the mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet, this kol shofar, sounded long and waxed louder and louder, God spake. Moses spake. Oh, I get so excited when I read this. It is. I mean, Moses spake. I bet he was a little nervous. But then God answered him by a voice. God actually answered him by a voice. I mean, that's unbelievable. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And then the Lord, showing the plurality of God here, he's making sure he says, the Lord says unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the people also which come near to the Lord, the ones that come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. This is the Messiah. This is the Word of God. He is the voice of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? The voice of the trumpet? The voice of the trumpet is the Word of the Lord. It's the sound of the Lord. He's always there. He's telling you, don't gaze unto the Lord. Don't gaze unto the Lord, lest what?
Many of them perish.
Yeah. It says, many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves too. Don't make them think they're so big time. Sanctify the priests too, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai. He's so scared right here, right now. I know I would be too. Moses is like, he didn't know what to say. He says, the people cannot come to Mount Sinai, for thou charges us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord just said to him, the Lord said unto him, away! Get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. Is that a plurality or not?
Yeah.
So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Wow. Now, this is just I'm just reading this a little bit, but that's definitely something that you want to remember and a trumpet that you want to remember. This is the Zichron, the memorial. That's why we're doing it today, the memorial of the trumpets, because I can't even read this with the right, I don't know, the enthusiasm that it's needed, because, I mean, the Lord came. I mean, my flesh can't convey it correctly. Could you imagine the Lord's going to come back? I mean, think about that. In somebody's lifetime, the trumpet's going to blast again. The seventh angel is going to sound, and the sky is going to split open, and he's going to just like rip the sky open, and he's going to the eastern skies, and he's just going to be like, you know, I can just imagine. I can almost imagine him saying, no one believed, here I am. And every eye is going to see him, and it's just going to be unbelievable. I mean, I can't even convey it with the right power. So be ready against the third day. Luke says, now upon the first day of the week, of course that being the third day, very early in the morning. See how, look at that. That's just like Exodus 19:16, right? They came unto the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So here it is, the third day, early in the morning again. That's important. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, what seek ye? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet, while he was yet in Galilee? Praise the Lord, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So that Exodus there, be ready against the third day, it was definitely a picture of this. Be ready in the morning. He's going to be risen from the dead. The Lord came there. The Lord is ascended. He raises here. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not, even though the Messiah told them numerous times. That shows you could read, you could hear scriptures, read scriptures, and you still sometimes you just don't get it until finally one day it sinks into your head. You know, that's the way the word is. Messiah is the word of God right in front of their face, and they still couldn't even hear it. He's telling them, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to raise from the dead. And they were just like, you know, the word just flew over their head. Because over here, they didn't even believe the women. They're saying, what are you talking about? Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes. Oh, you mean the Messiah wore linen? Oh, no. Yeah. Right. It says, they beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departing, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. That's pretty amazing. And behold, yes, he is the high priest. Amen. And behold, two of them that went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Yeshua, Jesus himself, drew near and went with them. Can you imagine that? He's risen from the dead. He's like, and he just comes with them, like just walking with them. But their eyes, it says their eyes were holding it. They should not know him. They didn't even know who it was. And he said unto them, could you imagine the Messiah who just rose from the dead? He's standing there going, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And he said, and one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, this guy was like excited. He said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? And he said unto them, Jesus says unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. It says, but this guy was like, you know, it's very passionate. He says, but we have trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Just think, he's standing right there. And of course, you know, the Messiah, here he is. He's thinking like, these people, I guess they never got it while they were alive. While he was alive and died, and here he is. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, it's very sad. The Protestant churches forsook the prophets, forsook the Tanakh. Oh, fools, how slow is your heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Messiah, Christ, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, the Torah, and all the prophets, the Nevi'im, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he, Yeshua, said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, even though your ears are plugged and your eyes were blind. These are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. That was the Tanakh, the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Messiah, Christ, to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That word behooved, it behooved the Messiah. In other words, that word means it's a must, it's a necessity, there is a need of, it is right, it is proper, a necessity in reference to what is required to attain some end. That's what that, it behooved Christ. That's what that word behooved means. In other words, it was something that had to happen because the scriptures were written. Anyway, that's a lot there to me. There's a lot of indirect, I hope you got a whole bunch of little nuances and indirect forecasts, and hope you felt something there. Of course, the whole chapter of Joshua, chapter 6, is a whole story of the beginning and end of time. And you can read chapter 6 later if you want. We're just going to read verse 4. Seven, there were seven priests which shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day, which we rehearse every week. And we hope the number seven is planted in your noggins after this week. It says, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Okay. It says, Hayovlim Shiva, Shofrot. He's going to be blowing the trumpets. And these are seven trumpets, seven times actually. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose they rose early about the dawning of the day. Just like, this is right here, same thing in Exodus 19:16, Luke 21:1, and they compassed the city. This is in the book of Joshua. These guys did the same thing, right? It says, and the city after the same manner seven times, only on that day they compassed the city seven times. So we look back at, and that's just a few things we look back on to remember the trumpets. The trumpet, there's many more scriptures that I didn't even bring up about the trumpet, and the trumpet is something that you should always remember. The number seven you should always remember. The shout you should always remember. Yeah, it's big wow to me too, and I haven't even touched upon the number seven. So we look back, and now we look ahead. We look ahead. Why are we doing this today? This is 2006 in Pope Gregory's calendar. Why are we doing this today? Well, Revelations 8:2 says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. You know, this was a letter by John to the seven churches. Remember that? The word seven is everywhere from Genesis to Revelations. It's just like, if you can't see that. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Revelations 10 verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he had declared unto his servant the prophets. And we want to declare this to everybody that this is important. You know, this resurrection that took place on the third day, and the third day they had to be ready against what was going to happen when the Lord came down. They had to wash their clothes because the sound of the trumpet was going to blast them, you know, that they better wake up and make sure they're ready to meet God. But some, in Corinthians 15:35, but some will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? And Paul uses the same word as the Messiah. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to be it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but their grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God give it a body as it had pleased him, and to every seed his own body. When you plant seeds of a certain vegetable, it doesn't grow seeds, it grows the vegetable, right? That's what he's basically saying. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So that destroys this whole evolution thing that Darwin is trying to tell everybody, this false doctrine everyone reads. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Terrestrial means of the earth. Celestial, of course, is in the heavens. Okay, there's all different glories. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. Isn't it? Everywhere you read in the Bible, God always separates the sun and the stars. You know how, like, we call the sun a star? God never calls the sun a star. He always separates everything. For one star different from another in glory. God made the two lesser light, the lesser light and the greater light, and he made the stars also, it says. Remember that in Genesis? That's right. Praise the Lord. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. There is a natural body, right? It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. A lot of people don't know this. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. That doesn't mean we're going to be running around as ghosts. There's a spiritual body that we're going to have, incorruptible, like Messiah had. Remember that? He said, touch me. I'm not a spirit. And they gave him something to eat.
Wow.
He was flesh and bone. Not flesh like you're thinking. He was supernatural flesh. That's why he's sitting at the Father's right hand. I mean, that's amazing. That's another whole that's another whole subject. But this is important. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He's a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We're going to be quickening spirits. It's going to be beyond. It's something we can't even fathom what that means. Howbeit, that which is not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. That's what I always try to tell you. Wait, go back to that verse, please. That verse is worded a little bit unique, but basically, yes, you would probably think the spiritual would come first and then the natural, but it's the opposite. You would first think that that which is not, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. In other words, first we read the scriptures for what they say, but then we want to get the spiritual understanding and the message from God out of it, because there's an innumerable depths of God out of like a few verses. You could read the same verses all week or all year, and then God opens different understandings, and your mind just goes, wow! That's why this is very important. As it is written, so this is important to get that, okay? The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthly, and such as the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. No more pimples. No. that's the least to think about. The image of the heavenly, if you do what God says. Isn't that something to like work towards? You know, talk about a goal. Talk about something that you really want. There's going to be an image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And you're probably wondering why I was reading this. Were you wondering why I was reading that? Okay. This is why I was reading that. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to be dead when this happens. But we shall be changed. Think about that. You're going to be alive and be whoever's there is going to be changed with this spiritual body in a moment. Just in a, I don't know how fast a moment is, a twinkling of an eye. You know, like in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, how fast is a twinkling of an eye? And this is going to be what? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. This is like positive. I know these are just words here we read. This is definitely going to happen. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorrupt, corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? You're going to be worried about death if you're thinking about God and all this? There's going to be no sting. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. You could say that again. It'll be a sting that never ends if you die with sin on your soul. But the strength of sin is the law. So make sure you know your Torah, because that'll keep you from sinning. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, all unmovable. You know, sometimes the devil tries to move you, tries to get you doubt, or, you know, just, when's this going to happen? It's too much. I want to go party a little. You know, the devil tries to get you to, looks like everybody's having fun, or, believe me, that means nothing. You have to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, in everything else it's vain, but in the Lord it's not in vain. Paul says again to the Thessalonians, which are in Thessalonica, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, same thing, that we which are alive, if you happen to be alive at that time in that generation, maybe you will be, you maybe, I don't know, and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those that sleep. You're not going to go ahead of the ones that, you're not going ahead of them, the ones that are dead. You know why? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Remember he came, did that in Exodus. He descended from heaven with the shout and the sound of the trumpet. And everyone was frightened. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Oh, man. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you're not going to prevent them. You're not going to come before them, the people that are alive. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then whoever is alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, with the dead, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What millennial reign are you waiting for? I want to do this. Oh, and I hope this comforts you and you comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just think, if you're waiting for the Lord and you're keeping, you know, you do the Sabbath every week and that makes you remember the seventh month and the shout and the trumpet and the Lord's coming, and I got to, every week you do the Sabbath, it's a sign, and I got to go tell other people and I got to be a light and I got to make sure I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord and, oh, my labor's not in vain in the Lord and only what I do for the Lord's going to mean anything. Everything else is vain. You know, this is a lot. It's exciting. I mean, these days are exciting. Just think, today we're just rehearsing this. It could have happened today. Think about that. It's going to, like today we're just here talking. Today I'm just talking to people on the internet, talking to people here. I'm talking to myself too. Don't think I'm just telling you. I'm telling myself this stuff. I got to get myself revved up too. But this could have been it. This could have been it. Think about that. Today could have been it. I mean, the trumpet blasting your brains out and everyone's, you know, the people that are not ready, the Bible says, they're going to pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. I mean, they're going to be like, oh, the sound of the, or some people are not even going to hear the sound of the trumpet. They're just going to be like oblivious to everything that's going on. Matthew 24, Jesus says right here, 24 verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Oh, you mean there's going to be tribulations? Yeah, because this is after the tribulations of those days. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, I bet. Whew. I mean, you think you ever cried? You never cried if you're not ready to meet the Lord. It says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And what's he going to do? We just read it in Thessalonians. Paul said it. He's going to send his angel with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, I want to let you know that everything we're talking about today, it's all been told us in the beginning of time. The book of Genesis, you may not think of this, but actually Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. It's finished, and all the host of them. And so we get it straight, God, and on the seventh day, God ended his work. It's going to end one day in the seventh, okay, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. You know, I can't wait for the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month. One day I want to tabernacle with the Lord. And you talk about resting. Ah, God's going to wipe away all tears. It says, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made, and we'll be able to rest from all our labors. You know, when if we go ahead and meet the Lord ahead of time, we hope we rest from our labors and our works do follow us. So try to leave a little bit of a remembrance from the Lord. I'm hoping my little audio tapes live on when I'm gone, and maybe somebody down the road will find a piece of paper or something that, well, that guy tried to read the Bible. You know, he tried to do something. So we go to Genesis. Like the Bible says in Isaiah 46:10, God declares the end of what's going to happen to the world from the beginning of his word, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. God does that. He tells you everything from the beginning. He tells you the end, if you can understand that. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God already told everybody what's going to happen in Genesis and in Exodus and in Leviticus and in Numbers and in Deuteronomy. I mean, he already told you in the Torah everything that's going to happen, just that it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. He wants to know if you're really interested, so go seek it out, the Bible says. Prove all things. Show yourself approved. Because when it's all over, I feel like I wish this would happen. John says in Revelations 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. That means they're not renewed, okay? They're passed away. And there's no more sea. God never calls it an ocean for some reason. He always calls them the seas. And I, John, saw the holy city. Could you imagine that? I mean, most people would think they're out of luck. They're banished to an island on this little island there by Asia Minor. You know, you're banished there in prison. You're thrown on an island. Who knows how he was? And he's having these amazing visions of God. And God shows him while he's banished. He's seeing New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And John says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, boy, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. So you better rehearse the Feast of Tabernacles, because he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself. I like the way he says that. God himself. yourself shall be with them and be their God.
Amen.
Wow. And God's going to what? He's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There's going to be no more death. No more death. You ever have anybody die that you love? You know, remember, and that breaks your heart? There's going to be no more death. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Isn't that beautiful? The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new."
Wow, that sounds good.
Praise the Lord. That sounds really good.
I
make all things new. Amen. I could say shalom for now. We are One of Messiah congregation. You could look us up on the internet. We're oneofmessiah.net. My little email there is malachi@oneofmessiah.net. And if you have any questions, this is the memorial of blowing the trumpets. And I hope that you do remember this memorial and that we rehearse it until the Lord comes. So praise the Lord. God bless you, and I hope you got something out of this study. This is only a little... Don't think this study is finite or it's finished. This is a little taste of the study. But I think that's enough to make you think that there are some shadows in the Bible. In the morning, the third day, the seventh, the seven trumpets, the seven everything. There's seven, so many sevens. And for everyone that keeps the commandments, there's the Sabbath every week. That should make you remember. And remember, you are a light to the world, so please pass some of this around. God bless you, and have a wonderful afternoon. Praise the Lord, everyone. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to take some questions.